Questions left over? Pharisees used it. Notice we keep coming back to that same thing. As Jesus has said in Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you won't even get into the kingdom. So he keeps contradicting what they thought about the law, which was a moral, was spiritual. They taught that this law gives you the right to get in. Same way that somebody hurts you have the right to hurt them. The Lord said that was not the law does two things. It demands that there be civil justice. And secondly, it prohibits civil justice. It demands civil justice, but it limits civil justice. Knocks your tooth out, you have no right to kill your first one. That's not just. Laugh. My advantage in this country, you slip and fall down in the store, you can sue for $500 just to keep your friends back. That's just. Fair. So this law limits the amount of good things you can ask for. And the law be carried out. There's got to be justice in society. There's a difference between civil justice and revenge. The law was being used against the person who did. Hey, you got me with your elbow going down the steps today, therefore I get to get you back exactly the same way, the same force. I'm the criminal. So that was never the purpose of this law. Because a disciple is not a lawyer. He is a peacemaker. He heals his rights. His goal is to reconcile not to a person who did it. But he is weak. He has his rights under control. He has his strength under control. So the Lord says, let me tell you what the real meaning of this law is. Somebody read. Right? that's all. Greek translation says, I say to you, do not resist ho anger, which means literally, be evil. Say an evil person to be immediately persecuted. Greek is talking about a specific evil. I think it is the evil that he was talking about. The evil of revenge. Somebody slaps you on your right cheek, come the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your penny, let them have your full pulse. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to them who asks you. If anyone wants to borrow from you, you might go with them. Also, I said, it's a wonderful appliance. He said that no one is to resist any kind of evil force. A Christian is all that evil forces have. Here we get into this hug talking about the first kind of difference between social and personal ethics. I don't believe that this is addressed to governments. I believe that Jesus is saying governments should never resist any entity. That's one of the reasons we have governments. I think he's addressing this to individuals are not to resist the specific evils that he is now going to talk about. And here are the evils. There is the evil of somebody slapping the person on the cheek. That's the third thing. I won't get you. Why don't you slap me on the right cheek? Okay, you notice you have to do that with your right hand. That's all. That's all. I'm a fool. Somebody slaps you on your right cheek, it's a back to the side. And Jesus is back to the side, he's on the inside. Because most of the time, it's somebody on the cheek. That's the way the number of the sound comes somebody to the cheek. Jesus was talking about, if somebody comes along here and is trying to knock your block off, after he floors you with the first punch, stagger back to your feet, stand there dumbly and let him floor you with sand. Somebody insults you. Don't insult you again. Don't try to insult you. Speak some things to the words that the words are going to be. I have a broken there is physical contact, but it is not damage. No, this is not prohibited. A person trying to simply destroy somebody else is not prohibited. That's what it is. I don't think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. Jesus Christ. So we are suffering and safe in Christ. We want to go through it. It's a voluntary relationship. But in this verse, it doesn't say somebody is slapping you on your cheek because you are a Christian. It's just so that was one of the evils. If somebody insults you, fine. Don't insult your mother as well. Verse 40, somebody wants to sue you and take away your cheek. What the boss of the family? Boss, the customer boss, that they may use it as a guarantee of a debt that they cannot keep it on hand. Because it is assumed that anybody is so mean, so in debt, that they have to actually pay off the shirt in order to guarantee that they will be paid that debt. And what they're doing is going to somebody who has enough money to lend it. In the morning, they're borrowing that money. During the day, they're going out and selling themselves to do that. They bring what they need for that day because they got paid on a daily basis. They take it back to the guy who took his phone. He gets his phone back so that he can do law of God said, if you've got somebody's cloak that's guaranteed for a debt, don't keep it overnight. Because if somebody is that needy, they're out there shifting their cloak. So be merciful. And this guy has pledged his cloak, paying off debt, and all of a sudden, paying the debt. And the guy says, you made a pledge, we'll go to court. You to go 1 mile, go with them too. Context of that day, the Roman soldiers had a right to ride by on their horses, or to walk by with their hands. This is written to a Jew, a conscript Jew, and say, you've got the third one. Jesus said, don't let him force you to go a mile. Voluntarily, comes to you and asks you to borrow something from and that assumes, I think, that the person has a need. If you have enough to give back to them and they have a need, do you lend it to them? If they've got a need, a legitimate need, and you have more than enough for yourself, what is your need? Give it to them. If you lend it to him, you simply add it to his need. Now he's afraid of it. So see, in every one of these cases, the Lord is saying, instead of going even with us, your rights, up your rights, your brothers, and God, that is unexpected, it will not serve us. Any questions on that? That's a good question, because our natural response would be to get even. And that's exactly what we do. The idea of not getting even is in the I have the right to keep it converted. I have the right to restrain. But if I can hold you down, I don't want to sit there with a knee in your stomach. I'm going to dig it in. Also raise an issue, okay, what if other people, those who are in social ethics, then we go back to the issue of civil justice rather than personal. So civil justice, the law says, yes, there is a necessity not to have to bad people from the world. You see somebody robbing your neighbor's house, don't go out and give them your stuff as well. The guy is a fake. He is a man. And when you need to call things, you need to deal with the wicked evil people in a way that will keep good people from doing it. Somehow in that process, you have to separate personal and something minor from what really is most important to somebody. I have online thought says, we are God's people. Therefore, we owe our allegiance to a nation, one nation under God, therefore, and to die for this country is important. So, that's it. The other side says, I belong to God's nation. I don't have anything to do with this nation. I have rights and privileges that come with it. No responsibility for defending. So, don't touch me. I think the truth is a tension between us. My opinion is the Christian belongs to the multinational body of people called God in Christ. And if every Christian ought to be so committed to the body of Christ that he's willing to die for the Lord, he will show that as he lives in the world. If he is absolutely committed to being glory for God, and it is God's mission and God's mission alone that he carried out in places for the world. And no mission of his own. The mission of God is that the nations know Jesus is Lord and the only Savior. So that the world disciples the nations all be disciples. That includes the Japanese and how quickly it happens to be the Lord and the Vietnamese. God loves all of you. I recognize that there are really good children of God on the side of the world. I don't want to kill this world. And there are lost people on the other side. And I don't want to kill them because I don't want to be an agent of anybody on the other side. I would rather die myself. Sensibly. If I am that committed to the cause of God, living in such a way that I'm daily bearing my cross to Christ, daily dying for myself, that I have no right to come to God. I could not use scriptures as objection as an excuse for saying, I don't know that that's not what COC is. Well, you serve, you serve in government, you serve in ways that most of the time. But within that system, ways that are meant to help have to be different with life, quiet, and stupid, and awesome. And that's that thing that we're going to do. Who can you see? Questions on that? I think so, in the case of the soup plants, it's the government that would have jurisdiction over the soup plants. In other words, I think that there's a common way of using relationships that are pure. I want to always have a relationship with the people that I talk about Jesus, and I'm informed by some kind of. different soldiers, weapons. It was an accident that this guy was suing. It was an accident that these people were assaulting him. How am I supposed to respond to people who have never heard him? What do you say? That's what it is. You have heard what was said. Notice the last part of that phrase is not in the same kind of thing. I would assume that it would be the kind of first class reputation of the Testament, the same part. The "and hate your enemy" is the logical extension of the Jews that Jesus gave. That's systematic theology. And for some things, the main reason for this reason failed. They said it was for love for neighbor. And so they spent a lot of time on the question of who are they? And we're going to ask them that question. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus told the story about it. And he didn't say the Good Samaritan is your neighbor. He says, who acted like a neighbor? Was who it? Despised person, a hero who would be like living in South Africa, preaching to a white audience, and using Nelson Mandela as a popular hero of the story. The audience has to say, all right, he was more godly in that sense than we were. The reason I asked that question was that we're trying to define who exactly do I have to be good for? Who is going to be love for me? As soon as I know who the neighbor is, anybody who has a need, you can meet that person happens to be me. The Jews said, you can hate and you can trust. And if I'm good at this, people will be good at that. The Jews can't be good at the Lord, and they're not good at the same as the Lord. Four, thank you that you have not made me a Samaritan, Gentile, God, or woman. Every Jewish man is a which is said, you're better than all the world. You're better than the Samaritans, the Gentiles, the dogs. Special. But I wouldn't say that's the question. So who's my neighbor? As soon as I know that, then I'll take care of them. Everybody else is there. That's the point. Let's go to prayer. The Lord said, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Be good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully curse you. Mohammed said, kill. Sons of your Father in heaven. You are like God in all of your things, because God makes the sun rise on evil, on good, on rain, on just, and on the unjust. If you love those who love you, what the Lord's heart is, even the facts of God, if you greet your brethren humbly, what do you do more than others? Not even acts collected through that. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father is. was in prison. He was in contact with the Spanish people. All of those negative things about the person eventually have prepared him with the language, the background, and the context. So that's how I got the letter. Any time along the way, Joseph could have said, God, I will not stand for this. You can't treat me like that. I'm not going to trust you anymore. I'm not going to obey you. I don't care. Thank you. about going through God's hands. And in ministry, living for Jesus, and being the Son, you're going to have enemies. The Lord wants the Son. And if you try to get revenge, you become like him. You try to become like him. You don't want to get victory over it, just recognize that God is the soul of you surrounding you. Questions on any of these laws, works, interpretation, point of it all is that Jesus is trying to prove to the stone of the world. He says, let's get back to the heart of you. If you obey form, not the change of your heart, which you never disagree with. Disciples can change the inside of the love of God. Law, the Lord moves to worship. Here's what a disciple looks like in his character. That's the attitude. Here is the way the disciple who is like the Beatitudes looks at the law. Really wants to be a Christ. Here is the way that that person winds up related to God. And as you might suspect, really a difference between the way Jesus wanted it and the way the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. Chapter 6, I hope you're still reading through this every day. Chapter 6, he talks about three forms of religious service to God. Frankly, if you got these three down, you will understand the natural meaning of this beautiful world. What is religion? Simple. Religion is giving money, that's all they want you to do. Religion is praying, learning how to go through the forms, talk to God. And religion is some kind of self-discipline. We don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't go to church. That's religion. In this case, it's fasting. So religion is giving, praying, and fasting. If you do those things, you're a good guy. You're more. What's the use of doing those things? Nobody knows about it. So the Pharisees, who were moral people, wanted everybody to look on all of their work. So they carried out their religion to those that everybody was in. They were, according to Jesus, hypocrites. What does the word hypocrite mean? Two-faced is a good definition of it. My wife would say, yeah, you're not two-faced if you're doing a good thing. It comes from the word hypocrites, which means to their ass. So it's an active person who's pretending. Which one is an ass? No one is, right? In the church, everybody thinks you're straight. In the church, everybody is active. So they have a law. They have a law. They have a law. They have a law. They nobody has any problem with the church. A lot of church is an ass law. Not only is the life of the man, even if he is, if you're home, you're not on the computer, you're not on the computer, you're not on the computer. Christians were confronted with it. They were actors because they were public. So, chapter 6 says, you do your righteous deeds. You display your goodness before God. Don't do it to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward for God. That's a general principle. First one, general principle, make sure you're not seen. If you do it to be seen, you lose your word. He describes Pharisees do it to be seen. This is the way we're getting it. Don't be like the hypocrites. When you give, don't sound a trumpet before them. The way it should be offered by a trumpet before them is to live in the past people. They have this giant box that sat out outside the garden. And it had on it a large thing that looked like a cocaine. And it had a trumpet in big like this and rocks. And when they brought their money, they would throw the money into the different books into the trumpet. And it would make a lot of pain. So they got it. It would be like, you know, if you were a kid, mom gives you like a dollar for your Sunday school. You stop at the store on the way, you buy something for yourself. Not that much, but you get all your change in pennies. And then when you go to Sunday school and you pass the plate, you got pennies in there, you got books and stuff. Man, he's ugly. Make sure that's his thing. That's exactly what they did. They took all of their money in the smallest forms, threw it in, and it was close enough. So the Lord Jesus commanded, you give, don't say anything. Don't let me come to your church. It's a secret. They did it. Their motive was to be seen by God. What was their motive? We are to do it in secret. If God sees, then God will be able to see. Same thing follows up on prayer. Don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray, standing on street corners and in synagogues. Every day, well, you know what it's like if you talk to them. They call them to the Moses, each of them are a whole lot. And the hours of prayer, no matter where they were, they would throw their rugs down right on the sidewalk and they would bow. Way. Really holy ones love to get caught outside of the hour of prayer because everybody can see God holy, God holy, God holy. I saw the way that everybody stops, the cars stop, the line up, the traffic, everybody goes out to sign up. Well, that's what the Pharisees did. They were supposed to go up to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and sacrifice. Oh, we're running late. Uh-oh, we get stuck there in the marketplace where we do all these things. Everybody says, the hypocrites love to be seen when they return. They have a repetitive prayer over and 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 over. They didn't say those then, but it's the same kind of thing. Just keep repeating the words over and 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 well, pray like you pray. Get your closet. You know, there are people who actually sell their closets. And you can have them put into the bedroom, and you can have them put into the bedroom. That's a big secret. Some of you can say it's good news. So, it just erases the whole purpose of having a prayer closet. But if that's what you need, fine. But the Lord is saying, the term that is used for going into a closet really is going into the inner room. Palestinian houses were built around a sort of square, and in the middle room was a storeroom. So it wasn't used for going out of the room, it was meant to be a little bit of a secret. be like the hypocrites here. The Pharisees had 2 days a week.